Well, hello and welcome once again to another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast right here on the Just Jesus Network. It's a joy, it's a pleasure, indeed a blessing to join you each week at 9 a.m. here on the network for these messages that God has placed in my heart. I pray you'll stay with us for the next 27, 28 minutes. And listen carefully to what God has asked me to relay to those who would want to hear. Okay, let's say a short prayer and then we'll get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, it is a joy and a pleasure that you have allowed me to be a part of this ministry, Lord. I know, Lord, that there are a lot of lost souls out there that perhaps don't want to hear this kind of message. The world is tied up in all sorts of wrongdoings according to your will, Lord. And Lord, it's difficult, even more so as each day passes by, to reach these lost and dying souls. But Lord, I know you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Therefore, Lord, I will continue as long as thou would allow me to be a part of this ministry, Lord. Please go before me now, give me utterance, and Lord God, if I stumble a little bit along the way, pick me up and put me back on track again. For I ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. Amen. Well, here we are once again. Last week, you should have heard anyway, over the Just Jesus Network, the Facebook of God. The Facebook of God, part one. Okay? Now, this week, the Facebook of God, well, part two. Okay? No, we didn't quite finish last week. We have some more blessings to pass on to you. Some more situations that perhaps you will realize that they didn't mean too much in your life. But now, because you want to get closer to God and you want to believe in what Christ did, well, you'll find them more to your liking now. I pray this would be the case. You know, there is an enemy in our midst. And I'm not talking about your landlord. And I'm not talking about the guy standing on the street corner looking for a handout, no. And I'm not talking about the voters in the various countries going to the polls. And it seems, Lord, that, well, people just want to do things their way and carry on, and it keeps getting worse. If black can get any blacker, it's doing it right now. And I know these are the end times. But I pray, people, that you will listen carefully to what is said, and you'll get something from it that can help you to either relate to Jesus Christ, to believe in what happened at Calvary, or at least lead you to someone who can tell you all about Jesus Christ and His saving grace. Okay? You know, the enemy, also known as the perpetrator, in this case we're talking about, is the world's, I'm going to use a worldly term here, so block your ears, you don't want to hear it. No, it's not a bad word. But the enemy has become the world's biggest scuzzball. You know what a scuzzball is? Well, don't worry about it. It just means that the enemy has decided to follow a scuzzball named Satan. And that's too bad. You know, in 1 Peter 5, the Word of God says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, roams about seeking whom he may devour." Seeking whom he may devour. Is he about to devour you, or has he already? Oh, time to call upon the Lord Jesus. Time to get things right with him, to believe in what he did. Going to Calvary, dying on that cruel cross. Oh, yes, it is time. He wants to devour you. He doesn't want to play a deck of cards with you. He doesn't want to take you to the dance. He wants to devour you. If he can't enlist you, then he consumes you to the point where you'll have no desire at all to come to Christ. You know, he'll give you so many things that you like to do in this crazy, mixed-up world. He'll give you anything that's against God's will. And if you're getting it, what are you going to do? You're going to believe, well, why bother God? Why bother him? I'm getting a good life right here. Well, maybe you are. But we're not talking about right here. We're talking about up there and down there. You see, up there is where God resides, where Jesus will be waiting for you. And down there is where the devil resides, and he'll be waiting for you. And it's a battle. It's a two-way battle. That's what it is. You have a choice. You can enter into the battle for eternal life in the presence of Almighty God through Jesus Christ because of his finished work at Calvary, or you can just sit there and say, hand me another beer, Ma, and we're going to the movies tonight. They got a good flick on there. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Huh? The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Nobody's saying you have to do this. It's a must. You have that choice, even though it is a must if you want eternal life in the presence of God. But if you don't care, then hellfire is your final end. Where the worm, which is the mind, dieth not. The worm dieth not. Wow. Now, if we check the dictionary, we find that when something is devoured, now I'm talking about like our adversary, the devil, roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we're talking about something that is devoured. It is consumed, according to the dictionary. Eaten. Like one would eat a hot dog or a hamburger. Oh. But in this particular verse, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, the reference is not the literal consumption of something fleshy, but rather the consumption of your soul. Your soul. That's right. Your precious soul. The anchor of your salvation. Should you have it? Should you have it? Once your soul is digested by Satan, then all that's left is wood, hay, and stubble. That's all. That's all. And that, of course, is only fit to burn in the fire. There's an enemy in our midst. And if you're not aware of his devices, you should learn now. Don't wait another day, because if Christ returns and you haven't given your life over to him, you have lost your chance. Especially now, because you know Jesus is your Savior. You know that. Be well assured, your greatest enemy is that old evil fool, the devil, Satan. And he's on the prowl, and he has a mighty army with him. Did you ever wonder where the devil gets most of his armies? Huh? I mean, besides the multitude of fallen angels who were cast down to earth with him? Well, you're not going to believe me when I tell you Satan got most of his armies right out of the churches of our land. Out of the churches of our land. Yes, that's right. You might not believe that, right? But you will eventually. From the churches. I thank God so much that the church my soul was anchored in is a church that pleases God. Pleases God. Does your church please God? Or are they doing all sorts of things that are ungodly? Are they giving more time to the world with their sing-songs and their antics of falling on their face and passing the word on which is not from God at all? Are they doing that, or are they fully immersed in the truth of the Bible, God's Word, the King James authorized, 1611? That's the place to go. That's the place to go. That's where, believe it or not, that's where Satan gets most of his armies. I mean, besides the multitude of fallen angels who were cast down to earth with him. You know, there wasn't anything fancy about my first Baptist church I went to. Not a thing. It was an old converted garage outside of a small town. It used to be a garage. The garage closed and somebody took the initiative and put some walls in it and re-seam in at the floors, and we got some chairs in it and put a pulpit there and got a pastor, a man fearing God, and we had a place to worship God where we could gather. Small but faithful. Small but faithful. It, like I said, it had it was sitting there being ready to be demolished, and we took it and we converted it into what God would have us use. It was a church of mine and Catherine's baptism. We were both Catholics before this. I mentioned in the previous commercial, or not commercial, but message, we were astute Catholics, attended church regularly. But God spoke to our hearts in a very special way. Told us it wasn't workable. Had to come out from amongst them. And we did. And we found this little church. You might say near the Wildwood. And we never looked back. We never looked back. It was our first Baptist church. The first baptism that we would take would be there. It wasn't sprinkling. That's not baptism. Like they do or did in the Catholic Church, where I was imprisoned for 42 years. Oh, like I said, the devil is not omniscient like God. Although at times one would think he knew everything. And that it was impossible to hide from him. Not so. If you hide behind the cross, he'll never find you. Did you know that? Hide behind the cross. How do you do that? Where is it located? You do it by repenting and believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you are covered by His blood, His forgiving blood, and you're hiding behind His cross. Yeah, that's true. When we relocated, I'm talking about the small church I was with, when we relocated to a more clearly defined location with a spire on the church roof and all, we stuck out like a sore thumb. And being strong in the Lord, well, the evil one was unable to penetrate our barricade of faith. He couldn't. At least, not for the time. we began to grow and become a mighty work for the Lord. However, the inevitable finally set in. And before we knew it, the vultures of the Antichrist were flying overhead. Can you see them? Are they flying over your head? The vultures of the Antichrist. We were found and labeled for the kill. For the kill. Because we were small. There may have been 20 of us total in the beginning. We were a small group dedicated to Christ. But the devil had us labeled for the kill. It took about a year, maybe two, to scatter the flock and bring down the work. Sadly to say, sin had entered in and stayed, all because of, you ready for this word? It's a very important word. You got to watch it. Sin had entered in and stayed, all because of pride. Pride. We had failed to do what Ephesians 6 verse 11 tells us to do. Put on the full armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We failed to do that. Some of us, at least. And this would bring the church down. We were bound by the snare of Satan and the reproach of them without. The reproach of them without. It was upon us. The Bible says that God is omniscient and all-knowing. Also, that He's omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent. He's everywhere. These are the great attributes that signify the power of our great God. Can He make a rock so big that He can't lift it? You bet He can. If He wanted to. On the other hand, the devil, that old devil, possesses none of God's qualities. And yet he rules an entire world with massive armies at his disposal. Massive armies. Satan is the master of offense. I didn't say defense, I said offense. An offense is anything that is contrary to the Word of God. If God says do and you do not, you are committing an offense against Almighty God. If God says do not and you do, then you are likewise committing an offense against God. If He says do not and you do, it's an offense. If He says do and you do not, it's still an offense. You see, God is holy. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows your heart. Now, we already know who the devil is, because we live on his turf. But do we know who God is? And no, God is not some imaginary figure conjured up like a Santa Claus. No, God is real as the air we breathe, as lovely as the lilies in the valley, as wonderful as the bright and morning star. God placed us upon His earth. In a perfect atmosphere, in a virtual paradise. And yes, Satan was nearby in the beginning. But keep in mind, Satan did not twist Eve's arm when she ate of the forbidden fruit. He merely scrambled her words and planted a seed of doubt, which is what he does today, to keep us faltering over which Bible we should use. Yea, hath God said? Oh, yes. And while I'm on the topic of Bibles, I must say, I am truly amazed at the gullibility of so many. What I mean is, any so-called Christian church will tell you how to be saved, and then give you one or more of over 400 different Bibles for home study. Oh, yes. There's over that many out there. And if you don't like the one they gave you, simply go to your nearest bookstore and find one that you do like. The one that doesn't mess up your sinful way of life. The one that Satan placed there with your name on it. The one that says, come out of the bondage of God. Will that Bible take away your salvation? No, but it might tell you you never had it. Or it might lead you down a golden pathway of confusion. This is an offense against God. People don't always need a Bible to get saved, but they do need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way to have that relationship is through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. People don't always need a Bible, but they need the Word of God. And that's what it's in. It's in a book called the Bible. Not something conjured up by the world. Psalm 119 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, Satan is the author of confusion, which leads to damnation. Did you know that? Yes. Whenever sin is involved, it's always against God. The offense is always against God, even though you may be the recipient. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were given the death penalty. For the wages of sin is death. And from that day forward, death passed over all mankind. There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why the cross. We're all sinners, whether we realize it or not. In the book of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Now that we know who's who and the capabilities of each, it's time to fully examine ourselves as to who we really are in the faith. It's the easiest thing in the world to say, I believe in God, I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thousands say these words every day, many more than once. Why is that? Because they don't feel any fulfillment. They don't feel any different. They are looking for a feeling, a special euphoric glow that illumines inside them and tells them and says, it's okay, you made it. If you're a child of the King, if you hear that, I hope you will run for the hills. Run for the hills. Oh, yes. I knew a friend whom I once had been trying to win over to Christ. He was a staunch Catholic who seldom went to church. He went to Saturday p.m. confessions to get his cleansing from the priest. He swore like a trooper, but he loved the Lord, he said. He beat up on the kids, but he loved the Lord, he said. He ran a still up on the hills and sold liquor to all the townsfolk. But he loved the Lord, he said. The church I attend, my friends, is in the wildwood. Pardon me, is not in the wildwood. Nor is it in the center of a bustling metropolis. We're just a plain, simple folk trying to do what God would have us to do. We do the best we can for the Lord and for you. What advantage do we have over them big churches? Got an excerpt here I'd like to read before I close. You see, unlike Peter, who remembered the words of Jesus and wept bitterly, crying out to God for forgiveness, Judas experienced a shallow type of repentance, a shallow type of repentance that was void of the law of God. Many unsaved people today are joining apostate churches which never preach totally against sin. Totally against sin. Since the law of God is not preached, there is no guilt or conviction concerning sin. As a result, millions of Americans, people worldwide, are giving their hearts and lives to Christ, and they are not getting saved. They have Christianity. They have churchianity without Christianity. They have never experienced genuine biblical repentance. They think they have been forgiven because they said a prayer, walked an aisle, and have learned the philosophy of Christ, but they've never, never addressed the guilt and condemnation upon them because of sin. My friends, I've come to the end of this message. I pray that you'll listen to it again if you didn't quite get it all. I look forward to being back with you again next week at the same time. Until then, may God richly bless you. And if you're not sure about your salvation, go to Him in prayer. Go to the One who knows all about it. He'll see that you know exactly where you stand. May God be with you. Be with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.